Welcome, welcome, everybody, to episode 166 of the Dumb Marks podcast. Look like we have tag team edition today.
The BET version, so.
Jason, how are you?
I'm here, like every Saturday.
Yes.
I might have talked a little bit more today, so.
You might be talking a little bit more to me.
I am the avid wrestling watcher. You are the casual fan.
I am the casual fan. Yeah, I'm the wrestling fan that hates wrestling, but watch wrestling.
It's coming to a point.
Nice to see you in the comments, Taquan, already.
I don't even have my comments pulled up.
Yeah.
Just because I know he's the first.
Yeah, it's always the first. So thanks, everybody, for joining in. Steve will be here a little later. He had some things to take care of. Not sure if Chris is going to do a run-in or not. He's on vacation with the family, so we'll see. So where do we start? I mean, how was your week? I should know how your week is. We work together.
Yeah, we work retail, so it's the worst.
Yes. The grinder machine for sure.
I hate everything and hate everybody.
Yep. That's how it
Merry
is.
Merry Christmas. That's the time of year.
Yeah. I've been playing the God of War DLC, God of War Ragnarok, Valhalla. Very fun, but very taxing. Very, very taxing. If you play Returnal, it's the roguelike style of gameplay where you go through a level, you die, you got to start from the beginning and just keep working your way up. You just got to keep doing it.
Look, I told you that bear gave it to me in the beginning and I was done. That wasn't even chapter one. I was like training and I was like, yeah, let me hang this one up. Maybe I'll pop it back in and start something.
Got nowhere on it.
Nowhere.
Nowhere. Yeah. So you can't play this DLC until you finish the game because it's spoiler. No,
my stubborn ass, I'll probably jump in there and try it.
God of War. That's right, Falcon. It is God of War Presents Dark Souls.
Is that a spoiler or is that a comparison between the games?
Comparison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, comparison. Okay. Yeah, you're not lying about that. It is like Dark Soulish for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, we're here to talk about wrestling and what happened in the week's wrap up and all that stuff from Saturday until yesterday. So, Do we want to start on? Do we want to do Jabroni or do we want to do Mount Rushmore? Who want to start with positivity or negativity?
And we can get Jabroni out the way.
Get Jabroni out the way.
Get Jabroni out the way.
All right. Well, you go ahead. What's your Jabroni this week?
My Jabroni comes from NXT. During the men's breakout tournament, you had the fans chanting the Black Panther chants during Obafemi's match. And you got two black dudes of the same stature in the tournament. It's like, come on. You know, I would say you called him the N-word, but you didn't.
Yeah,
you know, I would say that's what it just felt like. It just felt like out of place.
Yeah, and then especially the one, like I said, I skimmed over a lot of wrestling today because I was gaming, but I did see the one black dude dropped it out to the
guy. Yeah.
But like all the offense, but
I was expecting that because I didn't want two of the same stature guys in the tournament, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they both like two ex-football players, and the ones was just like he was just fresh off the field,
nothing.
Yeah,
you're absolutely. Not. And then plus the Chase You dude had story going on anyway.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And to get you invested, so I'm interested in that.
Let's see what Taquan said.
I'll send you the link, Taquan.
Yeah. For me, it's hard for me because of some guy who just showed up on WWE now, and I just can't take wrestling anymore. So thanks to that dude up in Chicago, this is how I feel.
Oh, okay. Phil?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's What made that your jabroni? Just steal the whole
experience? That's not my jabroni. That's just
okay.
Making me not care about wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Especially main roster. Yeah, everybody know about that. No.
I'm here for him. He's making his rounds. He's taking pictures with the young talent. He's looking like he wants to be there. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, putting that positive spin on everything. Yeah. We'll see how this carries out.
But going into my jabroni was that last segment of NXT. It's just the face off with Trick and Dragon off. You know, that was okay. But then whenever Melo came into it and was like, oh, it was Dragon off who attacked us. I was like, come on. Like, clearly it's not. Then him getting taken out in the beginning of the show was even worse because you see him throw the chair off of him out the way. I'm like, come on. Man, we know you just faked it. like, let's go. This ain't 95 pulling wool over your eyes. Like, yeah, you got beat up. Like, nah.
His promo skills in the end just threw me off. I was there for Trick and Dragon off.
Mm-hmm.
They were holding it down. Once you got Melo in and his melodramatic, it wasn't me. And all that, I couldn't take it. I'm like, man, let this man just say I don't miss and wrestle. That's it.
It just seemed like for me, like everything during that whole segment was completely off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It just didn't feel like big boutish. You know, especially for the NXT title.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like, it's just Trick's first time going for the NXT title. You know how Dragunov is and everything. I mean, man never has a bad match. I wanted to be big boutish.
Mm.
And there was nothing big boutish about it. It just seems like ever since they let Junior Varsity into that storyline and now they added somebody else into the storyline, is just getting further and further and further away.
Junior Varsity, for those who don't listen that often, is Lexus King.
Yeah.
So he's been relegated to Junior Varsity.
Yeah, he's Junior Varsity. That's all it is.
Will they deliver in a match? I'm sure they will. They did. That was Trick's best match. Today.
I'm definitely sure they will.
You wasn't here for the hokey. I respect you. You respect me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then look who he's fighting. The man who never has a bad match. Who carries everybody.
Yeah.
Literally carries everybody.
I see you, Taquan. I seen the uproar about that.
Yeah, so that's my jabroni.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I have no other jabronis
to
possibly think of. But you hit it with the thing too, the breakout tournament.
There's people I want to see in it, but now that she threw Junior Varsity in there, to me, I'm just thinking this is his.
Of course,
is to win. You just wrote the end of that story right there.
Mm-hmm.
So, unless Melo costs him the match, his final match. But is Melo up on SmackDown, though? No, because they still have to continue the storyline. So, mm-hmm. He could cost him that match.
Yeah. Then Melo getting a lot of screen time, too.
I'm enjoying it. Just keep him off the mic. I feel like – did you watch SmackDown?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, it's going to be him versus Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lashley versus Santos.
Yes.
What are you expecting from that?
I think Santos is going to win.
Somehow.
Yeah. Somehow Bobby's going to get caused. Like something's going to cause Bobby to fight.
Mm.
And Santos to get in. And then it's going to be obviously KO, I think. Oh. So Santos and KO to me.
Okay.
It's going to be it. Then eventually KO winning and fighting Logan for the belt. Mm. That's where I'm headed with it.
Okay. I was thinking Lashley versus...
–
I was thinking Lashley versus Melo.
Interesting.
And then this Lashley wins, but this somehow puts Melo into the Hurt Business.
Okay. I did not see that coming.
Because I figured he needs something like that. Put him in like a JD role.
Okay.
Yeah. But not like the jobber like JD.
Yeah, but not JD Dobberish. Have to do a little more. Yeah. I had it Owens winning everything.
Okay.
Just because he's a big name that got switched over to there.
Mm.
So you need him to do something. Because obviously, Roman's not dropping the belt at all until Mania.
No.
With what reports say, you know, the quote unquote reports.
I don't listen to that. I try to keep out of them sheets.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you could have Owens with the belt, which will be like the belt on the program until the belt is finally relinquished.
No.
So have him be the man until somebody else become the man. Then who would that be? Is that going to be Randy? Is that going to be AJ? Or is that going to be LA Knight? Because all three stood tall in the ring at the end.
What are your thoughts on AJ's return? Looking chiseled.
Yeah.
That's your guy.
It looked like he was working out with Cena and Hunter.
And guns were just,
Yeah. Just in the black jeans and all that stuff. Excited for AJ to come back. I mean, I just want him to be on his own. I don't need the club.
No, yeah, no.
Anything.
No, don't bring those two back.
Yeah, that's better. They're like handcuffs on him. Like super handcuffs on him. And then you have your three people there, like they always do against the Bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least the two of them, because you know the one is not going to be there the whole time. I want Cody to beat Roman just so Cody can decide he wants to be an active father. So basically anybody who gets that belt going to become a part-time Taekwondo? That's what it is.
I watched last night and it didn't, like his appearance, it still felt big.
For Roman?
Yeah. It felt like it meant something that he was there. So whatever they're doing, do I hate that he's off TV months at a time? Yeah, but it's, at least it still feels big when he returns.
It does. So,
yeah.
Yeah. The crowd is into it. Everybody's into it.
Mm.
So guessing Hunter knows what he's doing with him. You know. Speaking of that, let's go to Raw. Because I actually did skim through Raw, but the Punk and Seth little standoff. I was kind of interested. Yeah, I sat down and actually watched that just to see what both had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Do I care?
Differences aside, and know how to make the money.
Yeah,
that's all I see.
Do I want to see it because I know the history? Yes. Yes. Like these two have been linked since
forever.
NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a match I kind of want to see, even though I'm still not on Team Punk.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here. And when I was watching, I did not know that he entered himself into the Rumble. They better not let this man win the Rumble. It did challenge for the belt. It did actually win the belt. I'm like, you doing that, man. You are AEW for sure.
Bro knows how we feel, man. My man walked away and could have stayed away. I was hoping it was a Rumble in Pittsburgh so it could be his last match.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'll be truthful. I am for the match.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that would never happen.
See, all these people throwing their name in the Rumble just keeps on changing my pick.
Taquan, that would never happen. I will never sing that song.
Look, all right. Much how when Cody first came back, I was singing the damn song. It was in my head. As soon as that man's music hit after he came back for like 2 weeks, that cult of personality was in my head and I was humming it. And I was hoping nobody caught me. I was like trying to catch myself before somebody caught me. It was in there. It stuck. And I hate it. But yeah, him. Now my picks on the Rumble is just, my pick was LA Knight. That was going to be my initial pick.
You giving out spoilers before the prediction shed?
But it's changing so much. I'm just telling you what my pick was. It's changing. Like you got to go with like foregone conclusions. Because it was like LA Knight, go take the belt off of Seth. Now, you know, Cody was the first to announce, finish my story. CM Punk knows his name, man. Finish my story. And I'm like,
I got a story to finish.
Now it could be my pick, but it, you know, it's not happening. Oh, yeah. LA Knight ain't winning shit now.
No.
I put that up for you. Yeah.
No, he ain't winning anything.
No. You had all these talents come back. The main event scene is stacked more than ever on both brands. Mm-hmm. Oh, your boy's just in the mix.
That man's a foregone conclusion now. He might as well change his name to Santino.
No, I'm not going to relegate him to like you're done, you're buried.
You might as well.
I don't think he's touching main event gold. Yeah. All these names back? Yeah, no. Next week, somebody else is going to show up. And then there you go, further down, main event card. You still a main eventer, but yeah, you ain't touching that.
Edge and Daniel Bryan going to show up next week.
Back in the mix.
Yeah. My pick for Rumble still strong. I'm not going to give it out until the prediction show.
Not so none of these interests have swayed you.
No.
Your pick won't even be in a Rumble. Watch.
Yes, Taquan, that is the perfect title for him.
I'm an LA Knight fan. He's not. So.
I'm not an LA Knight fan.
He'll agree with your slander. I won't.
Yes. All right, so did a little jabroni there, you know, just a little bad banner back and forth. Mount Rushmore. Do you have one Mount Rushmore, two Mount Rushmore?
Does yours come from NXT?
Mine's come from SmackDown.
SmackDown? Okay. Mm-hmm. Mine was just the, how to put it, the reaction, the trick on Deadline. Mm-hmm. That kind of felt like old NXT takeoverish.
Okay.
Like the man had the building rocking from entrance to end. Mm-hmm. Say what you want about his in-ring, he's getting up there, but as a character, he's over.
Yes, he is.
He's you can't say anything bad about that. No. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I enjoy every minute of it. Other than the four falls in 2 minute booking, which was kind of jabroni-ish. Pushed his man to the moon.
Man went on a run. He hit the God of War rage mode, both analogs together.
The Venom's, what is the Venom attack? You see Taquan, I'm showing brothers love over here.
Wish I could put that up, but I'm not going to put that up. But yes, it is like that. I said last week, he's my man. I'm on board with him. Yeah, he's become like one of my favorite wrestlers. Over and everything, so much over. Like I was on YouTube just listening to his theme music and just saying, "Whoop that trick." And every time he come out, I'm like Booker too. Like, yeah, whoop that trick, yeah, get it.
You know how I'm doing it, yeah. So, speaking of that, you said off of his entrance. I seen a post of somebody they had the metaphor entrance, and it was like, this is the best entrance in wrestling today. And I seen a couple tricks in there, and I seen a couple other people. They put a lot of people were enjoying the metaphor. Mm-hmm. Who do you have as your entrance?
Well, we're going to save that because we got best of the entrance of the year coming up whenever we do our Mount Rushmore wrestler of the year, women's wrestler of the year, et cetera.
You count them in. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. He's still not flipping over. Come on, man. You come with the gear. They're going to lose today, man. Come on.
Here you go.
What up?
My man just did not even a bulletin board to get here.
So I in all transparency, I did not sleep in today. Okay, this is not we're not having a repeat. All right. Mental health is wealth. So I had to go do my little therapy session this morning to make sure that my mental health stays in wealth, and had to get that out the way. Had to reschedule, so normally don't go on Saturdays, but when they call and ask for you to make an adjustment based on their schedule, you kind of roll with the flow in that situation. So I appreciate your patience here, gentlemen. But how we living? How we feeling? How's everybody doing?
Here.
Doing good. We're here, living a dream, right? Trifecta. I got it again. Coming up on holiday season. I know you guys are itching to get it over with. Last what?
First thing we started.
Days, 7 days.
That's the first thing.
Still never fucking kids.
All right. Where we at? What we go into so far? Anything?
You just ran off Jabronis, and I gave
him real quick a little banner back and forth. Then
What was the Jabroni so far?
Mine was the Black Panther chance, Wakanda chance, and doing the NXT breakout match. They were doing chance. I was like, come on, man.
I didn't catch those. I'm not gonna touch that.
No.
You can if you want to chant Wakanda, chant Wakanda. If you want, like, hey,
no, I was like, Umbabe. Umbabe. Come on, man.
And then that was the last segment in NXT with Trick Mello and Dragon off.
Yeah, that didn't hit the way it was supposed to, huh?
No.
Like, I feel like they tried to put a seed of doubt there with introducing Ilya as the person, but
the next one.
It makes no sense.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
None at all. Like, why would he? And I know Mello laid out the reasons as to why he put it on him, but still, as he was talking, I'm like, still makes no sense. He's the champ. Why? Like,
yeah, he was the champ before like all this happened.
Yeah, like, so I don't. To me, I feel like the steam that they had behind this story when it initially broke down, and we were like, oh, they're redoing the Triple H Shawn Michaels angle. You know what I mean? Man, I feel like they missed the opportunity to wrap it up and give the payoff, and now the payoff's just not going to be worth it. Because you had Lexus King at the pay-per-view saying, hey, it wasn't me. I'm just a clout chaser. Thanks for the pay-per-view spot.
I like that.
Okay with that. Yeah, I was okay with that.
Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's not like the most 2023 thing ever. I don't know what it is, because that's, hey, Taquan, it's not, don't hate on the macadamia nut cookie, okay? It's an underrated cookie. Very underrated cookie. Which one of us would be considered the macadamia nut? Because that can be debated. Okay?
That's a cookie.
That can be debated.
All
right.
All three of us.
Jason's over there chanting Mbappe, but look at his shirt. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Right. So yeah, I just felt that the payoff to Melo trick, the whole storyline, Melo going up to SmackDown for the US tournament, like it should have been wrapped up and yeah. then move on. Now I don't think it's gonna be what they want it to be as far as a oh shit moment. When you had the opportunity to deliver on the oh shit moment, right? Like
a couple times,
and it would have been worth it. But you know, yeah, that was definitely a miss for me. As far as my jabroni this week, I'm gonna backtrack it a little bit based off of recent events and situations. So initially, it was gonna be Jericho, Omega, Starks, and Big Bill. But now coming out of it this morning, learning that Kenny has diverticulitis, is in the hospital. You can see why my man felt like shit and still went out there. So I got to give him props in that regard. Because people were roasting him. Like, look, this is the great Kenny Omega. Listen to the way he talks. Look how he's dressed. It's not. It's like, yo, my man went out there with diverticulitis was and my wife has that, so I know how that can be personally, like when it does flare up in that. So we all know what it did to Brock Lesnar back in the day. He almost died multiple times. So well wishes to him. So I'm not going to completely fully crap all over the segment like I was originally going to, right? Still don't think anybody benefited, but Enzo Amore, which that's Amore, the title for the show. There you go. I mean, he got more name buzz out of that segment than he's had in the what 4 or 5 years he's been released. You know, the last time his name was talked about this much in pro wrestling was whenever him and Big Bill crashed the ROH pay-per-view and got into the fight with the Briscoes. Like that was it, you know, like
literal fight,
shoot fight. I will say I saw a clip from ROH last night. Dax went over to a woman sitting front row. Now, if you buy tickets to an event, I get it. It's a new era. People are going to be on their phone constantly checking, tweeting, pictures, Instagramming, right? But if you buy front row, there's no reason to be on your phone. You're front row. Like, yeah. You shut out all this money to sit front row.
And during their match,
he literally got off the apron, walked over to her, stood at the guardrail, just waiting. And then finally and she looked up on her phone and he's like, what the fuck? Like, if you're going to sit front row on your phone, why even come to the show? And then hopped back up and got back in the match. Like, I'm like, that's... no reason to be like, I feel that's a bigger issue. Hey, last night's show was good. Don't say what you will for the build. I enjoyed the show last night. But yeah, man, like you got to be in the moment more often. I feel like that's the thing that's missed. We saw that with LeBron whenever LeBron broke the scoring record. We had everybody up on their phone, and there was one guy sitting there.
Billy Knight.
Just sitting there, just taking it all in, absorbing the moment. Like, I did that last week with my son's graduation from basic training. I'm like, hey, we got to take pictures. We got to do this. And she's like, let's just enjoy the moment for what it is. Like, just be present in the moment. And I feel like we can do a better job of that. So, you know. Shout out to Dax for calling her out last night in the middle of the pay-per-view. I thought it was hilarious. But so that the Omega stuff kind of diverted my jabroni. So I don't have a backup jabroni until I saw that clip. And I'm like, okay, well, I kind of put you on the list here. Just as don't buy tickets to front row and sit there on your phone the whole time. Now, if she's not a wrestling fan and you're taking her to the event because that's your girl,
I can see.
Why are you spending front row money on tickets to take your girl who don't like wrestling? That dude should be on the jabroni because you got to read the room. Take your boy, take your brother, your cousin, uncle, whoever. Like, Take somebody that's going to actually sit there and enjoy the event with front row tickets. Don't take your girl just because you want to take your girl to a wrestling show. I'm not going to force my wife to go to a wrestling show. She hates wrestling. She doesn't get it, doesn't watch it. So I'm not going to drag you to front row to sit through something. Unless Roman Reigns is in town, then she'll want to be front row because he's her tribal chief. So go figure. But yeah, so I didn't have anybody else to put on a list as far as Jabroni of the Week goes. Mount Rushmore wise, where'd you guys land so far?
I just Trick overall on Deadline. Like, he had that building rocking.
Hey, man, I don't know who produced that match. I'm very curious to know if it will ever come out who produced that match. Mm-hmm. Because the way they laid that out and told the story of him being the underdog and overcoming and just continuing his momentum that he's built up throughout the year through that entire match, like that match alone just set up his entire culmination for the year as far as where he was and where he's at now. Like, you can't do that any better for a star.
I don't know. I almost had that last 2 minutes on my Jabroni list. just for the sake of the Hulk up.
Well, I'm like, oh, Bron Breakker's going on this Jabroni list. You just let this man come in and spear everybody like Goldberg, and he's up 4-0. Like, what are we doing? Like, Taekwon, after the show, hop on Twitter, slide into our DMs, give us your information. We'll send you a shirt. We'll pick the shirt. So beggars can't be choosers. Okay?
Get a free shirt.
Yeah, give us your size and your information, and we'll get a shirt sent out to you because you carried the Luigi Primo bit all year long. So I gotta be a man of my word and pony up and give you a free shirt there. So we appreciate you. But yeah, Braun was about to be there because I'm like, there's no way they're just having him come in and just like destroy everybody. Yeah, because normally you don't see that many pinfalls in that. I mean, granted, they've only had one match, but they structured it completely different from the men's match last year when they did it, which I liked. So kudos to them. But yeah, that build and story that they told with Trick, how could you not put him up on Mount Rushmore after that week?
Like, he had the crowd from like NXT of old.
That was like DIY Alpha Academy. That was, you know, Sammy and Shinsuke. That was, you know, Finn and Joe. Like, that was there, like, popping. And I thought both of them, the women's and the men's matches were really done well.
Oh, yeah, they had some sequences in the women's that I really enjoyed.
I think they did it smart with Lash Legend making her be the powerhouse and hit all the power moves. You know, the double suplex off the top rope was like, okay, she can do some stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought overall it was good. You got Cora coming back, you know, your girl, the lioness herself, coming back. So yeah, it was a lot of good things out of NXT last weekend, for sure. Donald, what do you got?
I actually have two. I forgot the other one. Two matches. First one, Waller and Melo on SmackDown. I said it a while back that these two are going to be like the future of like main eventing. Like, I could see them being like Rock, Stone Cold, Shawn, Bret. Like, they just mesh well with each other. The two of them, that both cocky, you know, they both want that one spot. So,
yeah, it looks like she doubled up on the hardware. She had the original hardware and then went back in for a replacement and got additional hardware pro.
Yeah, so that match still intrigued me. Like, was their fourth time maybe fighting each other? It still was like their first, so. Really enjoyed that match. And then the second match was, It'd be a shock, but it's Moxley and Swerve from Wednesday.
Swerve is on a different level. Right now,
Swerve is just doing his thing. He's just doing different. I mean, I can't say nothing bad about Swerve whatsoever this year so far.
Do you have an issue with the outcome?
No, because they protected him in a way with his shoulder up that he has a gripe.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not a legitimate win by Moxley. There's still a way for him and Moxley, based on the standings and the points, to be tied, to have them go in the semifinals, to where I hope Swerve goes over into the finals. So, no, I don't have an issue with the way they booked that match on Wednesday and the outcome of it. Would I have rather given the straight win to Swerve and then figure out a way to get back to where they're going? At least the way I see where they're going, as far as having him and Moxley in the semis. No, I'm okay with where they're at right now with that. I've enjoyed the whole tournament. This is the best tournament AEW's done.
It's like they took their time with it, thing.
Yeah, like it's logical. You're telling multiple stories for multiple people within both sides of the bracket.
Mm-hmm.
You're presenting people. Excuse me. You're presenting people well that need to be elevated. You know, Roosh has looked really good.
Yes.
Brody King has looked really good.
Yes.
Andrade has looked really good. Swerve, obviously. Like, so, I mean, if you're elevating four people out of the eight that are in it, take Moxley and Danielson out because they're already at the top tier level.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing really good things. I don't like the fact that, you know, Mark Briscoe and Jay Lethal got 0 points.
Yeah,
I think they're a little bit above that, but
at least they're getting TV time, so people see them on all three of their shows. So I'm liking that from them.
So I am very pleased with the. Hold on.
Oh.
So we have pro with some AEW dislike there. I got nothing bad to say about the tournament. And logically speaking, based on their programming, this style of tournament fits in great because you can put it on, you can do longer matches, and people aren't complaining if they just get wrestling. Like Wednesday night Dynamite, they had, I think it was like roughly an hour or 70 minutes total of in-action wrestling time out of a two-hour show, which some people will say, well, that's not the way to do it because you don't have your in-ring promos, your backstage segment, like you're losing entertainment value. But Wednesday night was one of the best episodes of Dynamite that I've watched recently. And I think it was because they focused on the tournament and they had those matches and the wrestling was good bell to bell for every single one. Like, I wasn't just enamored about all they're doing is throwing these people out there and not doing nothing else.
Mm. And like you said, within the tournament, they're telling stories within it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, Roosh is definitely somebody we talk about. Swerve, like, he should, there's no reason why he should not be a top guy in your company.
Exactly.
Like, you have people there. So when you get into these situations with Danielson, who's banged up, who's on his last run, you have Omega. We don't know how long Omega is going to be out for. You can finally give Moxley a freaking break, even though I don't know if he actually wants a break, but he was supposed to get time off for like 2 years now. Like, you're building people up to put them in place to where you have a main event picture that's interesting. And people want to see those individuals in those spots to see what they do.
Mm-hmm. That's just not MJF.
And that whole, like I talked about the Trick and Mello payoff. I don't know if the devil storyline is, I don't want to say I'm over it, but I feel like the steam of it has come off the last week or two.
Even though
it's the most that the devil's been involved the last week or two, I just feel like something's you know, slowing down with it.
They said since they threw Hangman on the windshield, they said it's going to be Jungle Boy. Glass and glass.
And his suspension's up, so he has been backstage. They just, quote unquote, haven't done anything with him yet. So we'll see where that goes. Is the payoff going to work? Is Jungle Boy being the devil? I don't think so.
Nah.
But, you know, I don't, at this point, as far as looking at the usual suspects, I don't really know who could be revealed as the head honcho that would make me go, oh shit, they really pulled off a great story here. Like the Aces and Eights, nobody expected Bully Ray to be the guy.
No.
And Bully Ray was the guy. And I feel like they're running with that type of storyline with it. I just don't know if there's going to be somebody there to where the reveal goes, oh, why didn't we see it? But yeah, he's the guy, and it makes sense.
It's going to be one of those episodes, bro.
Goldberg out there, sparing people before Atlanta Falcons games now. That's where he's at as far as getting paydays.
Sean Spears. Sean Spears.
That's tremendous. Kenny, what up, Kenny?
What up, Ken?
How's it going, man?
hold on. I'm gonna turn my camera off for a second. Hold on, 1 second. I'll be right back. Hold on.
Uh-oh. He's coming with something. Yeah, so hopefully this devil reveal will be good. But I doubt it will.
All right. So let's get into some big meaty men slapping meat. Okay. Shout out to Chris for providing the early birthday present for your boy. I got this in the mail the other day and I'm like, who the hell sent me this shirt? Right. And my daughter was in the dining room whenever I got it. I'm opening it up, I'm reading it, and I'm like, oh, this gotta be one of the guys from the show. And she's like, well, let me see the shirt. And I turned it around and she read it. First words out of her mouth, that's what she said. I'm like, God damn. I had my 13-year-old. Right? Taquan, I'll wear it out in public. Don't worry, okay? At least I'm not the white dude wearing the black jacked and stacked Will Hobbs shirt or whatever it is.
Like, I almost bought that shirt.
Yeah, so
I know I got roasted on here.
So, with this being the you know the instance here, I had Bronson and Ivar from Raw out there doing their thing. The superplex from the top rope, insane, right? And then last night we got Keith Lee and Shane out there doing Hurricane Ronas from the top rope on each other. Like, that was nuts and insane. So Big Meaty Men Slapping Meat had a huge week. Okay. Huge week. Loved it. But they're not my jabroni. They're not my Mount Rushmore. As much as I want to put them on there, they're not my Mount Rushmore.
What does NFL allow to do? Big man balling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That might be new.
Big Meaty Men Slapping Meat. Segment.
Big Meaty Men Slapping Meat segment. We got to keep Big E's memory alive here. But my Mount Rushmore goes to Athena and Billy Starks from last night. Main event in ROH. First woman to do that. the culmination of a great story and further cements, in my eyes, spoiler alert, I've been saying it for weeks now, as Athena being my female women's wrestler of the year in 2023. Them two went out there and did the damn thing last night in that matchup. Great story, great physicality, tremendous movesets, and then, you know, the payoff at the end, it was what it was. I thoroughly enjoyed it. You had Athena go over, Billy Starks got over. It's everything you want in a match on a pay-per-view that elevates everybody. So kudos to them last night for going out there and doing their thing. If you haven't seen the match, go on, find it, watch it. You won't be disappointed. One of the better women's matches of the year. I loved everything about it. And, you know, Athena needs her shine and her spotlight ASAP. Mm-hmm. ASAP. Because character-wise, she's killing it. In-ring-wise, she's killing it. And she's often forgot about because she's on ROH, which is a shame. So, TK, make the move. Get her over. Elevate her up. Do whatever you got to do, but put the shine on her because she's one of your best talents, hands down, men or women.
Not being seen.
Yep.
So that's where we're at. Did you like how SmackDown ended last night?
The turn,
the comeback, and then the turn.
I didn't mind it. I just don't know the reasoning. Maybe that'll come, but at least it gives LA something to do and take him out of the picture.
Out of the main event. So for those of you that did not watch SmackDown last night, we had AJ Styles return at the end of the main event segment.
Came back big, black, and jacked.
Somebody took a picture of it. Was AJ on the apron and Randy was like off in his diagonal, and they're like, I guess WWE's throwing out the wellness policy because these two are not what they were before.
I told Jason he looked like Cena and Triple H after they got done training, but he looked like who's it, Blade from AEW in all black.
So AJ comes back, him, Orton, and LA Knight take out the bloodline, run him out of the ring. Baby faces go over, heels standing at the ramp. And then AJ turns on LA Knight and lays him out. And it even shocked Orton. Like, I love Orton's facials. Mm-hmm. Randy Orton, there's something about Randy Orton. When he's in the ring and he's invested, there's never a wasted movement, moment, facial, like, everything is done with intentions with him. He's one of the most natural performers ever. And he looked at AJ like, usually it's me doing that. I'm not mad that you did it, but kind of looking at him like, hey.
I got my eye on you.
Well, welcome. It's about time you stepped up and did something here.
I said, as long as the club isn't tied to him.
He said he on his own path.
Yeah.
I think it does. It, Jay, like to your point, it pulls LA Knight out of the bloodline angle. It gives him something to do with a top guy that still keeps him at the top of the card. So you're still keeping his momentum. He can still be the babyface. You have AJ as the heel. But AJ's heart, that's a hard guy not to cheer just because of how good he is. So we'll see. AJ as a heel normally don't really work. But if he can tie in some of that like Bullet Club stuff and, you know, go from there, I think he can pull it off and it'll be a good angle to have. Taquan, do you want your free shirt or not? I'm gonna have Jason pick out a shirt and it'll be the whitest thing you've ever put on. So yeah, I'll see it. It's another layer added in, and you know, gives people something to do. I thought SmackDown was good last night, even though it didn't feel like a holy shit show. They touched on a lot and did a lot. But we'll see how they start to heat up for Rumble and where that goes in that regards. Now, on the flip side, going back to Monday, surprised nobody had the Seth and CM Punk interaction as their Mount Rushmore.
We skimmed over it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was it good? Yeah. Are we invested? Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I am invested in this.
Are we still on Punk side? We're not there yet.
No.
So, like, Chris's big thing, and he says it all the time, and we say it too, but, like, the best storylines in pro wrestling are when you blur the reality with the scripted, right? Mm-hmm. Seth and Punk don't got to like each other to work together. I work with people all the time, and I'm like, everybody does, right? It just happens mm-hmm. in the workplace. You're not going to be best friends with everybody that you work with. But I think both are professional enough to know how much money can be made in this feud and what it can do to go out there, blur those lines. Do I believe everything that Seth said on Monday night? Absolutely. Do I feel like there's true animosity there? Absolutely. Do I feel like he actually hates CM Punk? Absolutely. And now I'm hooked. What do you do from here? Where do you go? It's not often people get a one-up on Punk on the mic. Say what you will about his wrestling over the last couple of years, but his mic skills have always been there. So having Seth go up 1-0 in a proverbial promo battle is an interesting starting point. Mm. And we'll see how Punk responds and goes from here. I mean, I don't think they rush to do that match at the Rumble, which they're not, because Punk declared for the Rumble. So they're setting the groundwork and giving you a tease of what it's going to be like heading into WrestleMania, which I feel them two are going to main event night one. And that was going to be my next point, Pro. The amount of money AEW left on the table by not getting those guys to work together and actually do the storyline just shows the difference in the companies and their outlook on the business as a whole. WWE has done forever and a day, oh, hey, Edge, you sliding in Alita's DMs? Guess what? You and Matt Hardy going together, real life, right? Hell, even TNA did it with Angle and Jarrett.
Yeah.
Right?
Hogan and Savage.
You got lust in your eyes for Elizabeth. I see it. Yeah. You can't leave money on the floor unless you're at the strip club. But other than that, you got to pick it up. No, that's not right, Taquan. We're not going to put that up. But there's a huge difference. And I feel, you know, they were talking on Busted Open as far as like Booker of the Year. And they brought up a good point where Tony Khan can be the matchmaker of the year, but he's not the Booker of the Year. And there's a difference between matchmaker and Booker. And I feel like if AEW is going to get back to being hot again, they need a booker, not a matchmaker.
True.
Because we can make matches all day long. We come on here and book matches. Does that make me a booker? No, it makes me a matchmaker. That's not going to continuously drive television programs and get people to tune in each and every single week. You got to be a booker and not just a matchmaker. So I don't know if AEW will turn it around next year. You know, we'll see. This tournament's a good start. because I feel like TK is being more of a booker than a matchmaker in this tournament. you talk to him one on one, bro. You and Phil have fireside chats together.
They play Fight Forever every Wednesday.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. So yeah, we'll see, but I don't know. It may pick up, it may not, but we'll go from there. Some other news just circling around pro wrestling world. New Japan? Did you guys see this with New Japan?
No.
So they're one of nine
promotions
to join together. To join together for United Japan Pro Wrestling Group.
Okay.
Don't know the other eight promotions and what this means. So they're allegedly pulling on a joint event in May. I guess with all the top Japanese promotions. I didn't even know there were nine Japanese promotions.
They must be pulling out.
You got New Japan, you got All Japan, you got Noah, you got Stardom.
Those are the three, four I know.
You got DDT. So there's five. I can't think of the other four. Look, New Japan has tried a bunch of things to get them to be more relevant from a global perspective.
I don't think he knows who Marsha Ambrosius is.
Bro, don't take that. But yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, New Japan, they're doing this. I guess, you know, it's good from the Japanese side of things, all the promotions working together, and because for a lot of time you wouldn't get that based on, you know, the history, much like CMLL and AAA in Mexico. Mm-hmm. But New Japan continues to work with everybody. It's just their talent's not presented. Like, outside of Okada, when is like a New Japan talent gone over on somebody? That was actually New Japan. I mean, Osprey had some wins, right?
But that's weird. Like, I think they're top dog in that, aren't they?
Who?
New Japan.
Top dog in what?
In that little
in a collective group?
Yeah, they'll be top dog.
Yeah. I mean, them and Noah, but they've been doing stuff with Noah more recently the last 2 years. So they put on a joint show with them. Yeah. I would say those are the top two in, as far as Japan wrestling is going. See how Stardom fits into it, if they're included or not, you know, being an all women's promotion. I think it would be smart to include them in that. But. Oh, just something to keep an eye on. Interesting outside of the U.S. wrestling scope of things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get too caught up in the bubble with WWE, AEW, TNA.
Were they launched strong in that app? Because Strong has women, right?
Yeah. But they haven't really done anything with Strong recently. So... I don't know. I feel like if you're having a lot of your talent leave for the U.S. market, because we've seen, you know, Jay White leave and sign with AEW. We've seen Ospreay. WWE is apparently making a hard push to Okada when his contract's up. You know, you got to do something to keep talent around. You can't have all your stars be groomed and leave for other promotions because the platform's bigger. Which U.S. market wise may be from a global perspective, you get, you know, more eyes on you here because people in the U.S. that watch wrestling, if you don't wrestle in the U.S., you don't matter, which we know is not the case because there's talent everywhere across the globe that people aren't aware of. You know, Japan and Mexico being the two that are highlighted the most with stars, but you got wrestlers everywhere, whether it's the UK, Australia, like you got people all over the place that are talented that just don't have the platform to be big stars. So I just found that interesting, something to keep an eye on and see where it progresses as it comes out.
Well, where'd it go? All
right. Speaking of outside promotions, TNA announced some signings this week. So they signed Trent Seven, they signed Kushida, slowly building up their roster for their relaunch.
Who's Kushida at?
Who's in New
Where's
Japan?
Where's Kushida at?
Where was he at?
He was in New Japan.
He was in New Japan. He went back.
Yeah.
Okay. So I thought he was over here doing something with somebody. Was it TNA? Like just doing
well, he did have matches in TNA and that, but now they actually officially signed him. So, look, that the Hard to Kill and the Snake Eyes, the two events TNA got coming up next month with the cards that they've announced and the matches and the people on there, they're hitting the ground running. So let's hope the production and money in that regards steps up their presentation. Because I'm expecting big things from them next year in 2024. I see you, pro. I see you.
Gave you screenshots of the text messages.
So, all right. Anything else?
Yes. Your boy is about to sell out Madison Square Garden. Dirty Dom. First match. CM Punk's first match announced.
When the best in the world want to be the best in the world, you got to go against the third best.
He's top three, not one and two. You gotta get the phrase right. So they announced that match, and then they announced Nakamura and Cody in a bull rope match.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, you're giving these away at events and not putting them on TV. Like,
with that holiday laugh.
I wonder with the Dom and CM Punk thing, whose idea was it? And you know, kudos to Dominic Mysterio coming, you know, a year and a half ago. Would you think he'd be the one to work with CM Punk in his first match back?
Not at all.
Did you catch Raw when he came backstage and was talking to him? Mm-hmm. I was just looking at like Dom just sizing him up the whole segment, and I was just looking like, I need this match.
Say nothing to him. Didn't say nothing to him.
Just walked off and he was nothing.
Yeah, like. You know, I thought Raw, the backstage segments with Punk on Raw Monday were tremendous. I thought him and Drew was great.
Yeah.
You know, him with the Judgment Day, him with Kofi. God, you're making me crazy. No, I don't do that no more. Like, that popped me.
What did he say? The only real Kingston or something?
Yeah. No, that was somebody. Yeah. I made that meme at a shot.
You know, I definitely need him and Gable in a match at some point. But, yeah.
Who and Gable?
Punk.
Oh, thought you meant Dom.
Dom making stars. He's doing his job like the Brooklyn Brawler did back then. He makes stars. He's the one to give the go-ahead for everybody. Hey, Hunter, this is the guy.
Can you imagine that, Hunter calling Dom into his office? Hey, Dom, who should we push?
I see potential in this kid.
Meanwhile, he's 20, what, 25, 26? Like, This kid's gonna be a star someday. You need to keep your eye on him.
I heard this Mellow, he doesn't miss.
Speaking of Mellow don't missing, and to tie into the Mysterio name, Dragon Lee is officially changing, replacing Rey Mysterio one mask at a time. So I don't know if you saw the clip, but he was at the house show. Little kid there with his Mysterio mask on after the match. They're talking back and forth, and they swap masks. He took the Mysterio mask off him and gave him his Dragon Lee mask. I said it before on the show weeks ago, months ago.
Once you get the kids.
They finally found their guy to be the next Rey Mysterio. Mm-hmm. So, and my Barry Horowitz, pat myself on the back. Triple H, you're welcome for that one again.
You think he'll trade for a Sin Cara mask?
No. No, he's skipping right over that kid.
Laying over this bum's mask.
No, he'll trade with a Repo Man mask before he does a Sin Cara mask.
See, that Dom did what's best for business, you know? Did more than what his dad ever did.
And how about Rey Mysterio just being Father of the Year, just chanting for your son to lose and giving his opponent the biggest hug ever? Talk about a troll job as a parent. That's tremendous. Amen. Hugging and raising the arm of the guy that just whooped your son for the title. Like,
look, Book had me crying on commentary all night during that match. It's like, how you bigging up Rey and disparaging him in the same breath? He was like, get your great champ, but have you done with your son done?
He's about to do your finisher better than you.
Oh, that's great. See, Liv Morgan got arrested for marijuana.
I seen the post. I wasn't.
Yeah.
You read it. See what it was. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So we'll
lay her.
See what happens with that?
I thought she was gonna come back and take the belt off Rhea.
Yeah, I don't know. She posted bond and got out, so
she ain't gonna get that RVD treatment, is she?
I don't know.
Hell no.
Do we got a game this week?
It's you.
I didn't see nothing on the file.
All right. Well, I'll do an impromptu one here.
Okay.
And I saw this. I wasn't sure whose week it was, and you know, end of the year, shit's getting crazy. But this comes from the Undertaker himself. Okay. So a couple days ago, Undertaker himself was giving an interview, and he brought up his Mount Rushmore of tag teams. Okay. So this is who Undertaker put on the Mount Rushmore tag teams. We're going to debate it. We'll do a little debate this right here now and see who you got. So he has the Road Warriors at one, Rock and Roll Express at two, Midnight Express at three, and the Brain Busters, Telly and Arn, at four. This is the Undertaker's Mount Rushmore of tag teams.
I can see that. That's his era, so yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely his era.
I'm surprised he left off the Dudleys, because he's worked with the Dudleys, and the Dudleys were there that whole time.
I think he's stuck with Era.
You think he's stuck with Era?
I think he's stuck with his, who he grew up watching, who his favorites, it's kind of hard to put your peers on the Mount Rushmore.
Unless I guess hindsight's not as much there. I have no problem with that list.
No, not at all.
I think majority of people have Road Warriors in their top one or two or on the Mount Rushmore, right?
Yeah.
Rock and Roll Express, Midnight Express, they may not get the same love as some of the other tag teams just based off of the fact that they didn't do it in WWE, given that era.
But they had matches.
But those two Bobby Eaton to me is one of the most underrated, if not the greatest underrated wrestler of all time. And if you listen to anybody that talks about him, they will, from a wrestling standpoint, will tell you the same thing there, that he's criminally underrated. And then Tully and Arn, for me, even though they're running WWE with short as the Brainbusters,
yeah.
I mean, Four Horsemen, like, when Dax and Cash were first in WWE, that was like, that was the initial comparison and draw, was Tully and Arn. And just a modern version of Tully and Arn. And I feel like that's why I gravitated to liking those guys so much. Now they're in ring, obviously, the matches that they've had as a tag team has put them on the map, to say the least. So I feel like, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if we look back at it, you know, does that Mount Rushmore change based on some of these current tag teams that are around? Like, say what you will about the Bucks. Do they end up on a Mount Rushmore based on what they've done? Because they've done it themselves without the machine behind them.
Yeah.
Like them or hate them, you can't take away their success and what they've done. So,
somebody's, not mine, but somebody's.
You know, you have, like, say the Hardys, you have FTR, you have and tag team wrestling back in the 80s and early in 90s, like in early 90s,
that's what you live for, man. It was great, some stuff.
You don't have that now. Mm-hmm. It's in pockets now. It's in spurts. It's not a consistent flow, which was one of the reasons why I think AEW was so attractive whenever they first started, because you felt, oh, here's the Young Bucks. They're EVPs of this new company. They said in the initial press conference, we're going to highlight tag team wrestling and present it in a way it hasn't been presented. And it hasn't gone that way. But they've had the teams in the division to do it. And you've seen it in spurts. I just don't know why they haven't went all in on it and made it a true focal point. They've gotten away more from the tag team and focused more on trios.
Yeah.
Like, if you have the Bucks, Pride and Powerful, FTR, and the Lucha Bros, how is that?
Right there.
How have you not? How is none of those teams main evented a pay per view yet? Yeah, that's true, pro. That's definitely true. So, yeah, but no, it's interesting that somebody as respected as Undertaker, universally, who a lot of people put on their own Mount Rushmore as far as single wrestlers, to get his thoughts and curiosity. I am curious to see how the question was presented to him. Like Jay said, maybe it was just based on eras or his preference before he listed the teams in that, to see, but that I just saw the list of the four and I thought it was interesting to bring up as far as a debate based off of one of the best to ever do it and who he felt like should be on Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you don't get those guys given Mount Rushmores, right?
No, they never do. Never
like
do.
It's rare. It's rare that top talent gives him Mount Rushmore.
I think Flair gave his and didn't put himself on it.
I mean, Flair said numerous times that Shawn Michaels is the greatest ever.
Yeah, he was on there.
And he also said, too, Hogan was bigger than him in wrestling. Yeah, he was on the record saying that. He was like, Hogan was bigger than me.
So, I mean, but that was always the debate. That was the main. That I feel like the Flair Hogan was the initial delineation between entertainer and wrestler.
Yeah.
Hogan's the greatest entertainer / superstar ever. Flair's the greatest wrestler ever. Like, that was, for as long as you could go back, that was, like, the argument. I don't think Hogan could touch Flair in the ring, but
no.
If you watch Hogan outside of WWE, like, you watch Hogan back in New Japan back in the day, with his matches with Stan Hansen and some Vader and some of those other guys over there, like, Hogan could actually work.
Yeah.
He wasn't just hitting a, you know, a knuckle sandwich and a leg drop. Like, yeah. He could actually, he was doing chain wrestling and in and out holds, and it was like, oh shit. Yeah. Hogan could do this. I'm just used to him hitting a chumble and a leg drop.
Like, yeah, it was like before the Hulkamania gimmick, he could go. Did.
And he
times are changing.
Tom, what you mean? I can only do five moves of doom and be over? Oh, brother, brother, you getting the leg drop in the pump up.
Man was out there looking like Dean Malenko.
But if you here's a question for you, and we'll wrap up after this. You talk about Hogan would hit the initial five moves of doom and the leg drop and the pump up and the comeback and everything, right? If you look at the most over wrestlers, right? A lot of them only had like four or five moves.
That's it.
You had Hogan with the pump up, the comeback, the leg drop, match over. Austin, you had him with the stomp in the corner, the Thez press, stunner, over. Cena, five knuckle shuffle, AA, match over. Right?
Well, we'll put Taker in there because Taker did more. But you got the snake eyes, the rope walk, the choke slam, the tombstone.
The warrior. You had the shoulder tackle. Yeah, you had the press slam, the shoulder tackle, and the splash over.
Like, run down to the ring.
Yeah, like I mean, hell, even the Rock. You had the people's elbow, rock bottom, over.
It's the simplest stuff too.
Which is why it's so tremendous when you have MJF who gets over a freaking double clothesline and a kangaroo kick in 2023. And people are going absolutely apeshit for it.
Because it's stuff you can actually pull off yourself.
That's true. I can't do a 450 splash, but we can do a double clothesline. Jeez, oh man, that may be the worst one that you've ever said. The worst one.
You ain't getting no shirt now.
Anything else from the world of pro wrestling that was this week? No. True transparency, we'll see. I don't know if we're gonna record stuff and release it. Normally we take time off around Christmas and New Year's. We gotta figure all that out coming up here. But stay tuned. We'll post and let you guys know what's gonna be upcoming. We definitely have our year-end awards that'll be coming up. We got the categories broken down and we figured that all out. So stay tuned. We do ours a little bit different, and of course it'll be in Mount Rushmore fashion. That sets us apart from everybody else's year-end awards. We don't just do the traditional categories and breakdowns. So make sure you tune in for that episode. As always, head on over to YouTube, like, subscribe, check the bell, get notifications, go back, watch the past catalog of everything that we've gone over since we've been doing the show for 166 episodes. We have some other stuff on there as well. Drink of the Week, One Gotta Go. On some early After Dark editions, with some other topics there. Head on over to Spotify, subscribe. Let's build that audience up here for the upcoming year. Email the show, dumbmarkspod@gmail.com, prowrestlingtees.com/dumbmarkspod. Pick up some merch. We'll give you a live shout out on air. As always, we appreciate you guys rocking and rolling with us each and every single Saturday. We can't do it without you. We're glad to come on here, chop it up, talk pro wrestling, get the interaction. The comments always stay fire. We appreciate that. Again, thank you guys very much. It's been a hell of a year. We're continuing to grow, adding to the audience and onward and upward, as they say. Maybe a change coming in 2024. So stay tuned as a little radio tease in that regards. But anybody got anything else before I wrap up with the quote of positivity for the week?
Oh, I'm good.
All right. Well, enjoy your holidays next week. We may or may not be on. We'll let you guys know as the week progresses here. But, you know, enjoy the holidays with your loved ones. Stay safe. You know, drink, be merry, enjoy yourselves. And some quote here, positivity leads you into the week. Goes, yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself. Yesterday I was clever, so I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise, so I'm changing myself. As always, stay positive. Mental health is wealth. Until next time, I'm a Mark. You're a Mark Telemark. Y'all can catch us around the way.
Bye-bye.